So what companies are getting together when it comes to M&A? What are saying thanks but no thanks? Microsemi, as Dave mentioned, offering to buy PMC Sierra, about a $2.4 billion deal. And then you've got Canadian Oil Sands urging shareholders to reject an offer from Suncor Energy. Let's make sense of the deal environment on this Monday. Ed Hammond, our Bloomberg News Deal reporter with us, as he always is. And Howard Lancer, he's Managing Director of Mergers and Acquisitions Group at Robert W. Baird & Company, joining us on the phone in Chicago. So, Ed, what do Monday's deals look like today?
Much less than last
Monday. I was going to say.
Last Monday we had about $200 billion announced, and it seems like we're not quite on track for that yet today. I think one of the really interesting things to get announced today, and it's not quite a deal yet, is Valiant, which obviously we all know is this kind of fantastic roll-up shop, something that just buys and buys and buys. And a lot of critics say, well, continue buying until it kind of explodes into a, I guess, some sort of pharmaceutical pinata. What they said this morning is that they're actually now thinking of selling their neurology business because it's not performing as they would want it to perform. It doesn't have the growth profile that the rest of the business does. So they're saying they're going to get rid of this. It's about 10% of revenues. And this is quite a significant moment for Valiant because Valiant is a sort of such a good indicator of appetite for buying in the market. For them to come out and say they're going to start selling is perhaps quite telling.
So I'm so glad that I put all of my net worth in PMC Sierra shares at the beginning of the year, because now I'm up 70%. Oh, and I didn't actually do that, did I? This is amazing that this semiconductor company that's been around for, I don't know, I've been looking at this company for 15 years or so, and it's done fine. Suddenly it's the belle of the ball.
Yep, that's right, Corey, and it comes at the back of a sort of, I guess, a week, but it's been slightly longer. But certainly last week we saw this huge run in deals in the semiconductor space. I think we saw, you know, there was a $2 $10 billion deals, one $2 billion deal.
A lot,
you know, yeah. It's a huge amount. And that comes on the back of, you know, earlier this year we saw the Avago deal, which I think was, what, a $25, $30 billion deal. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, activity in the semiconductor space. And it's an industry that has been ripe for consolidation for a very, very long time now, and people have been talking about it, and I guess it's just that momentum thing that's happening.
Howard Lancer, let's bring you into this conversation. Managing Director of M&A Group over at Robert W. Baird & Company, what do you make of kind of the activity we've seen in the semi space?
You know, I think it's reflective of the activity we've seen basically across the board. There's been major game-changing transactions happening in almost every sector this year. In fact, this is the year of the big cap transaction. As we look at reported dollar volume year to date, up over 38% to $1.6 trillion, putting 2015 on a record pace by a large margin. So there's been activity going on across the board, and so far 2015 will be a record year in terms of volume, but we have seen some cracks in the system that suggest that perhaps all the concerns with China and oil and the Fed are catching up to us.
Interesting. That can't have anything to do with some of these deals, though. I mean, I can see some of the bigger macro deals, the beer deals, for example, maybe, but maybe even Dell EMC. But, you know, when you look at sort of, you know, PMC Sierra, not quite a tuck-in, but when you look at things like this, these seems to be really strategic. In as much as they are companies like Skyworks maybe wanting to broaden their portfolio, this isn't sort of a something that they're missing. This is an entirely different kind of, or an ancillary semiconductor business, but a very different one. Do you think those will be affected as well?
No, I think what you're seeing in the M&A market, particularly in the big cap, is that they're looking for these types of transactions that can move the needle from a top-line perspective and from a bottom line. And so you're looking at situations where they're making big moves. They're taking a look at their market where they are right now. And as you mentioned, it has been ripe for consolidation for quite some time. And in fact, you know, we've been expecting these types of consolidations for a couple of years, and they haven't happened. So what we are seeing is a chess game right now, and people are making their moves that they think are going to position them for the long term. And when you do have underlying issues in the economy, you've got concerns going on, this is the time to make these types of moves, because if there is going to be some sort of downturn, you want to be positioned in a position of strength to the highest degree possible.
Are things slowing down, Ed?
Not yet, but I think they are potentially going to quite soon. So, there's obviously this sort of lead time on all deals with stuff being worked on and then comes to announcement, and that's when we kind of start factoring it into the overall numbers of the year. What we're hearing a lot of at the moment is that, you know, stuff is being pushed back. Stuff that was due to announce next week is now being pushed back a month. And I think the volatility and these kind of, you know, these existential factors that we just talked about, they are starting to really drag. And I think a lot of the advisors we're talking to are worried that the deals they have in the pipeline may not actually come out.
Howard Lanter is still with us, Managing Director at Baird, as well as Ed Hammonds. And Howard, how can I delicately ask about how much money you make? I won't ask that.
Wow. But jeez.
No, but here's what I think is that this should be the year that bankers, if they're ever going to get paid, get paid, and that the economic effect that will accrue in places like San Francisco and New York, if you're ever going to see it from the investment banking side, I would imagine you're going to see it in the coming year. It'll be good for the economy for bankers to get paid.
Yeah, I'm totally agree with that. Yeah, bankers getting paid is a good thing from my perspective. But if you look at where we were at the middle of August, I think people would agree with you that no doubt this was going to be a great year. But then we had the kind of disruption we saw in the equity markets in the second half of August, which rolled over into Labor Day, and so people are understandably nervous because what's happening.
It's still a great year, though.
No, it is. Don't get me wrong. It absolutely is. But it's a seasonal business now, and most banks are looking and expecting to have a big fourth quarter. And when you have these types of disruptions, it does make you nervous. And like I said, the deal volume, we are going to have a record number of, the value of the deals is going to be at a record, but the number of deals is actually trailing. So there's a little bit of angst in the market. There's no doubt about it. I think we have hopefully found some firmer ground than we were when we saw the Dow below 1,600. We're going to have to deal with China. We're going to have to deal with the Fed and oil, without a doubt, throughout the rest of the year. But I think people feel good, but not great. So I think we're expecting a very good year, but it may be somewhat less than what we thought we were going to go into in the middle of August.
Hey, Ed Hammond, I was reading this morning our Bloomberg Intelligence team talked about the breakup fee that SAB Miller would get. I think it's about $3 billion, a termination fee from AB InBev if it doesn't go through. It's about 2.8% of the deal's value. Mm-hmm. Is that deal going to get done?
It's going to be a tough one to get done. I think there are two points about that. I think one, that break fee is kind of typical, particularly for...
Is it typical?
Yeah, it is. It is. Sometimes you see higher ones. We've seen, obviously, Monsanto, when they were trying to do Syngenta, which was a 40-something billion-dollar deal, they were offering a much higher break fee, somewhere in the region of sort of 7%, to appease Syngenta. This is much more in line with what we would expect. It's a very big deal, so it will get a tough look. I think the two areas it's going to have to really prove stuff in are in the U.S. with the DOJ, although they have already outlined kind of what they're going to try and do there. So they're going to get rid of the Molson Coors brands, and that's something they can do quite easily. There's an obvious buyer for that, which is the other side of the partnership. The place where it may struggle is China. I think MOFCOM, which is obviously the Chinese equivalent of the DOJ, are going to take a tough look at this. They tend to extract a pound of flesh where they can. There's a lot of pounds of flesh they can extract here. So it will be interesting to see how they are treated there. But I think ABI are very confident that from an antitrust perspective, they can get this thing.
And they must have had a strategy, because China, they want to be, that's a great growth market, right? But they must have had some kind of strategy knowing what they have to do to keep a big piece of the Chinese business, but also get the deal done.
I think that's right. They will go in there. We don't know the exact details of it yet, but they will have gone in to this deal with a very, very clear idea of what they're going to divest, what the form of those divestitures will be, and very possibly even who the buyers are going to be, because, you know, it's stuff like with the Coors Light, they know who the counterparty is. They already have a kind of buyer lined up, ready to go. And the regulators like that. The regulators are much more favorable when you show up with a pre-baked solution and you can say, look, this is what we think we need to get rid of to make this thing float. Here is how we're going to do it. Here's who's buying it. And ideally, it's going to one party.
It's like, don't bring your problems to your boss. Give them your solutions.
Exactly.
Oh, well, you're supposed to do that?
Note to self, Corey Johnson.
That explains everything. Let me ask finally, when you look forward, Howard, do you think that there are deals that are rushing to get done just because that this is the time, or is this just kind of a reflection of the rate environment, or is it a reflection of the calendar?
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of both. There were people who entered the market pre-Labor Day trying to get a deal done before the end of the year because conditions are relatively good. But I think going forward here, there are going to be some deals that are going to have to take a pause and probably not get done this year and probably have to wait to firmer market conditions in the beginning of next. But I think most people who enter the market should find accommodating M&A market environments to get them.